This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Live from New York City. How you doing, everybody? How you doing?
I'm good. You can always, people can always tell by when you open it up if we ate breakfast or not. Or if we...
Because I'm a little slower and I'm a little like...
No, you jacked on my...
I am jacked up on Mountain Dew today.
Yeah. You feel good. You full.
Yes. And as I said, ESPN Studios in New York City, Pier 17, the Seaport District. It's a little chilly out, but we don't have baby cashmere today, but that's okay. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number to be part of the conversation, as we like to do throughout the entire show. It's what we do. We talk. We talk with you. We talk with each other. Sometimes we just keep talking right into the break. Bart. We are brought to you by, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got D. Wood, right?
We got D. Wood.
Damian Woody today.
Fresh from the crib. He ain't come in. Like I told him, I'm an invoice.
You were fresh from Get Up.
Yeah, he was on Get
Diana
Up too.
Diana Rossini.
Yeah, he was on there too, but yeah. He ain't come in.
But he had his baby grand behind him. Yeah, you had baby cashmere. He had a baby grand.
He saved those toll prices. You know what I'm saying?
It's getting expensive to cross the rivers now.
I want my $22.
Mm. Do you get reimbursed for that, don't you? Mm. You don't put in for that?
Yeah, they said they pay you.
Gotta talk to your accountant.
Yeah, meh.
So again, be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call online. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football bowl season's here. Fans are hyped. Return to glory. But fans will love Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. The Kyrie Irving saga from last night, October 12th, he was sent home, and we're in January, and he's back. And he's back with the team, and he plays in Indiana, and it went perfect. And I think that's what's important. And this is Straight Talk, part of the Straight Talk Wireless. 22 points, had a big fourth quarter, put away a Pacer team that is, they have two main starters playing, and none of their guards. They got a,
Lance Stevens.
Yeah, Lance Stevens put on a show. He put on a show in the first quarter, man. He went crazy early on. That they love him in Indiana. So he was hyped off the crowd. Like, he really had a good start to the season, to the game.
Yeah.
But then it was really more about Kyrie and when does he start to look like Kyrie again? And how many games will it take to get the rust off? 12 of their 18 are road games that he can play in. So that's why right now is the perfect time to bring him in. He can only play, again, on the road games. He can't play in New York, either at the Garden or at Barclays, and he can't play in Toronto. So he's still going to miss half of his team's games, but they feel like it's better than not having him at all.
Yeah.
And he played well, really well last night, Bart.
Really, really well.
I just want to say that we knew he had that game in him.
Yeah.
Because when conditions are perfect, he plays great. But conditions aren't always perfect. And that's what you've got to watch as now the season goes on and he has to deal with whether it's a nagging injury, whether it's somebody with a brand name locking him up defensively, whether it's teams that are a lot better than the Pacers are right now, playing a little more physical, making him work defensively. All the things that he was not challenged a lot last night. He wasn't. Now, the Nets went down 19 somehow, some way in that game. But all along, you're like, they're not losing this game. Like, you just knew it. So, again, conditions are perfect, and he played great like you expect him to play.
Yeah.
Those three have only been together, I think it's, what is it?
12-2.
If 14th time they've played together as a trio.
It's crazy. That is crazy.
We know they're almost unbeatable when they play together. So, Bart, is this the team to beat in the East, even with Kyrie playing halftime?
I know we had Big Perk there yesterday.
He disagreed.
He didn't want to disrespect Giannis, but I will, right? Because when this team is together, and listen, it's a lot to be worked out, but I look at the other additions too. I look at Patty Mills. I think one of the best offseason acquisitions in all of basketball. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's probably number one. To me, Patty Mills is number two in what he's been able to do. And when you mesh them together, what I was surprised is that even with Kyrie coming back and playing 32 minutes, which was surprising, no soft tissue, I want to see how he handles a back-to-back road game, being able to see how he reacts after, trying to get in basketball shape and having it. Anybody can do it once, right? Especially when it's your first game. Yeah. I want to see how his body feels afterwards. We know he's broken down before, and usually when guys take that type of time off, we know the soft tissue injuries are right around the corner. But I was still surprised that Kevin Durant and Harden still played 41 minutes. I think
they went down 19. Yeah. I think you know why. Those three have to. Somebody's got to be on the floor. We just did the graphic up on ESPN Plus. It was an amazing thing to see the difference when one of them is not on the court.
Plus 16.
Versus when all of them are on the court together. I mean, that is such a stark difference. So they need him.
Yeah, Kyrie's plus 16, but they need him. And I think his biggest contribution is being able to give Kevin Durant rest.
Yes.
They cannot continue. They cannot continue. We see it happening on the other side. And I know we expect Klay to come back, but have you seen what's happened to the front-running MVP now that he's having to log all these heavy minutes? And Steph Curry?
Steph Curry is, the last couple of games, he can't make a three. Yeah, he's been ice cold from downtown.
And usually what is that an indication of? Tired legs, right? So we don't want that to happen to Kevin Durant as he's been asked to do too much. Now, Monica McNutt, your partner, you know, our partner here, but your partner on Knicks postgame, mm-hmm. you know, said that, you know, she's interested to see how this team morphs as far as a defensive team. Because Kyrie is a willing participant at times on the defensive side, but a lot of times he's not interested. And this current Nets team is a defensive team. They're a team that plays defense because the people that come in, like Patty Mills, these are guys that are committed to playing defense as well. So how does that happen? Does Kyrie buy in, or do we see this team have to morph to what they had to morph to yesterday, a team that goes down 19 points to a team like the Indiana Pacers, an inferior team?
They also had to change up what they were doing the first half. They played a lot of LaMarcus Aldridge, and he'd scored, but defensively they were terrible. They gave up 73 points at the half.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying.
But DeAndre Bembry came in, and what a difference he made. His energy defensively was a lot better, and that certainly changed things. But the story was about Kyrie Irving. And for Kyrie Irving, yes, of course, at one point he was asked about vaccination status, but for him it was just about being back with his team, being back on the court, and what it meant to him.
Oh, man, it felt amazing, man. I don't want to take this for granted. You know, long time coming. It's been months, man. So just to get back here in Indiana, you know, play against a good Pacers team. I know they're missing a few players. But we just want to come out with a resilient attitude and just do the right things on both ends of the floor. That first half was horrible. You know, we got to be honest with each other. That was horrible. Gave up almost 70 points. Man, we came out in the second half with a resolved attitude.
Now, he was also asked, and Nick Friedell did that from ESPN. He did ask him because he talked about how, you know, we'll see how things go. You know, like it was yeah. For him, he was almost taking it day by day. And so it sort of felt like, well, because when you get to May and the playoffs begin, like you want to play in all these games, right? So the thought is, and you brought it up yesterday, getting him back around the team, does this sort of make him feel like, man, I really want to help these guys. I don't want to not be available for them, and maybe I just got to go ahead and have to do this.
Well, the money didn't work, right?
So he was asked about it. Nick asked him, and he said, I'm just taking it one day at a time. And he admitted it's not an ideal situation. He said he's praying that things get figured out and we'll come to some collective agreement, whether it be with the league or just things that's going on that could help ease what we're dealing with. And he just said, I don't want to make this about me, simply someone lessening the rules for me. I know what the consequences were. I still know what they are. But right now I'm just going to take things one day at a time, like I said, and enjoy this, that I get to play with my guys. However it looks later in the season, we'll address it then. But yeah. It kind of feels like, it's not like he's leaving the door open, but he certainly hasn't closed it completely.
Well, he's punting, right? Right okay. Now, these aren't win or go home games. These aren't what we all collectively came together for. This isn't the opportunity for us to prove that us coming together that we can win. It's more important to James Harden than anybody, right? He decided instead of trying to hold out and go somewhere else, he decided to come and join with you guys because he believes in you, and he's the only one that's carrying the scarlet letter. He's the only one that's labeled as a guy, can his style ever be a part of a team that can win? So, like, at what point does that peer pressure, like, man, come on, man, we need you, man, we can't win without you? Does he say, you know what?
Well, how do you play in a series, and you're opening the series at home, and the first two games you're not there?
Right.
You're not there. Like that's not easy. And, again, this has nothing to do with whether you agree or disagree with the decision. This is just from a sports perspective as an athlete. You certainly know it better than anybody, Bart. But, I mean, I was many, many, many years ago an athlete. I do understand that sense of, you know, I'm not available. Like,
chemistry.
I'm not available for my team when they need me most. You know, like, that's a hard thing to carry. That's a hard thing. And he can't even be in the building.
Yeah.
It's not like he can be on the bench and encourage. He can't even be there. Yeah. You can't be around. That is the hardest thing. You feel so detached, and you wonder, will that be enough to make him emotionally make that decision that right now he's hesitant to make? 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 for your thoughts on Kyrie Irving and more, and his impact on the Nets and where the Nets can go. If you see them together, again, they look like an unbeatable team. That was Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meanwhile, though, Bart, today, the story with Antonio Brown, it just continues. In fact, not only does it continue, he's starting now to really go after certain people that you thought might be on his side. Yeah. And one of those people is Tom Brady. Now, the first thing that happened was the release of a statement that he put out. And the statement was a very long, written-out statement that clearly is something that a lawyer would put together and make sure all the wording is, you know, carefully said and covering up for everything that you could try to find. Like, anything that you could find in the statement, like about him, is mentioned in the statement. That's why I said this is, you know, a lawyer-driven statement, clearly. He talked about Bruce Arians knowing that he had an ankle issue and that that ankle issue is why he wouldn't go back in the game, and Arians knew it. That's what he's claiming, that he had a conversation with Arians even before the game. Now, in the statement, I mean, it's unnecessary, Bart, but he also had to add the part about how, you know, we were all mad we were losing to the Jets.
Oh, man.
Did you need that?
See,
you know, did we need that line?
Like, yeah, I was going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Nah. I mean, I didn't need that. But anyways.
But here's the thing.
It's beyond that, though. It goes deeper now to him. See, and this is, we know this is what he's done in the past. His lawyers will put out something that is official statement and carefully worded and, you know, just comes off as a very legal thing that covers all bases, and then he goes rogue on social media and then says what he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he's posting screenshots of text conversation that he had with Bruce Arians, proving that he did let Bruce Arians know his ankle wasn't right and that Arians was just basically saying, we need you there. You know, if you can go, I want you there. But then he continues and he goes after Tom Brady. And remember, Tom Brady is the one that told everyone after the game on Sunday, have some, right, compassion.
And this is bigger than football, but he
for this guy and all that stuff?
But he kind of suggested, what did he suggest? He kind of suggested something, I think, that rubbed Antonio Brown the wrong way. He suggested that he had some type of mental meltdown that, you know, you want people to care for him and maybe we need to look into it and he cares about him. It's going to be friendships far from the football field. He's no longer my teammate. He made it suggest like he was having a mental episode. And Antonio Brown is saying, no, this is about I couldn't play and the coach told me to go back in the game. And you can't make a player play if he's injured. If he say I can't go, I can't go. You know, that's one of the things where you have to be honest with your team and your team expects, you know, you expect your team to be honest with you. So that's a slippery slope. That's why he hasn't been released, because you can't release a player when he's under contract and he's injured, right? And if – listen, this is easy to prove. One, it's easy to prove if those are authentic text messages from Bruce Arians. That's easy. Bruce Arians can erase them or whatever he wants. Antonio Brown can authenticate them. But also, it's got to be a trail. If he says that I have a sprained ankle, I have ligament damage, and I took an MRI. He supposedly took an MRI here, but he said he suggested it's been an MRI taken before.
He
so,
says he took one on Monday morning.
So I'm sure that's on the injury report. So you can't cut a player if he says he can't go. Remember, I always talk about, oh, my arm, oh, my leg. You can't really tell somebody how much pain they're in and if they're able to tolerate the pain or if they should go. So, I mean, what was weird to me is why wouldn't he go in the game when if he could go – if he had $1 million on the line. So I believe
he did, as everybody knows. Again, it's over 300,000 in different benchmarks that he easily could have gotten.
It's $1.2 million that he stands to earn that's still out there. And he's probably eight catches from one of those and 50 yards from the other one.
Yeah,
and he could have got all that in the Jet game. So anybody that loves their money as much as we all do suggests that he would be out there trying to get that
whatever
money.
It takes.
So the fact that he didn't go in the game suggested, made to me, And I'm not trying to play psychologist, but just as an athlete, if I have money to go get, if I can go get it, I can get it. But if I'm hurt and I can't get it, then if I'm not willing to go out there to get money, because it's not like it's going to stop them from going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? They're locked to go to the playoffs regardless.
Right.
They're going to win their division.
Right.
So the fact that he wouldn't go in there, to me, suggests that maybe he was injured. And if somebody would tell me and come to me and say, Bart, go in the game. And I'm like, man, I can't. And then they say, well, you go in the game or get the hell out off the field. That would rub me the wrong way too. Especially if it's coming from a coach or a position coach, a coordinator. And he's basically telling me to ignore my health and damn with how I feel and damn my body. Because at the end of the day, long term, you have to live with your body. And it's certain things that's never going to be the same. I tell people all the time, my toe forever for the rest of my life will never be able to bend. You know what I mean? It's damn near frozen straight. I can't bend it at all.
Yeah. And what you're explaining, I guess, from that part of it is one thing. But here's where it gets bizarre, because you're talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
So as he goes after Brady, he's not really going straight after Tom Brady. He's going after Alex Guerrero, his trainer. And he shows a conversation, again, a text screenshot that he put on Instagram. And he said, this is from Christmas Eve, in early morning Christmas Eve. And he says to Guerrero, hey, AG, if we're not going to work anymore, that's fine. Let me know about the $100,000 I paid you. Only fair to get back half my money. Let me know how to proceed. And shortly after it, Guerrero responds, or at least it says it's Guerrero. Now, listen to this, and you tell me, because I'm going to read you what Antonio Brown put on his story, and then I'm going to read you the reply, and you tell me if these things match up. He said, Tom Brady's guy charging me $100,000, never doing the work on me. How you even work with people like this? This is what I was dealing with. But this is Guerrero's response. Good morning, AB. I appreciate you reaching out to me. I completely understand that you want to go in a different direction. Thank you for the opportunity to work together. You're a wonderful person. I hope for your continued success on and off the field. Please let me know where you want me to send the balance. Big hugs, my friend. Where does in that message say I'm not giving you back? Where do you want me to send the balance?
Yeah.
Means, yeah, I'll give you half back. So why is he saying, charge me $100, never doing the work on me, when you said to him, I should get half the money back, and he said, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I mean. Like, that's why
you're trying
to make the case that, you know, maybe he is hurt. How can I possibly believe him if, A, he puts out this 3-page statement that is written by a lawyer.
Yeah.
That is clearly, like, covering everything up with, that's what lawyers do.
Yeah.
Making sure everything's all things that you could accuse him of are explained away.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows a conversation and tries to make it out like Brady's guy is a bad guy and he's taking money from me when he's literally in the picture not doing that. I can't believe Antonio Brown.
He's in there working on his feet. But maybe
he just said, tell me where to send the balance.
But he didn't say no. But that doesn't suggest that Antonio Brown's maybe saying, like, I thought you were going to be doing more and you didn't do it. And he'll give him the money back, but you want the work. If you pay for something, you really want it. Right, so maybe he felt like he wasn't getting the treatment because Tom was getting too much treatment or Gronk was getting too much treatment. So maybe he said,
I completely understand if you want to go in a different direction.
Yes, but he's saying, you know, I thought but he clearly states early he thought he was getting more or going to get more body work. You see what I'm saying?
No, like, I don't. I don't. This doesn't make sense at all.
Listen, it's stupid because he's going to give him the money back, but maybe Antonio Brown's upset because he didn't get the work, even half the work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, we used to have this guy named John Snyder, right? And Snyder is an ART guy. Like, when I had my reconstructive surgery, one day I woke up and I couldn't move my toe.
All right.
And I was like, yo, I don't know what's going on. I went and got MRI, seeing if the ligament transfer had fell off, if the screw had came loose. Mm-hmm. Everything was still intact, but I couldn't figure it. I couldn't fix it. But so I called Snyder. And Snyder gave me, he did some type of trigger point. Like, he started working with my knee, then he worked with my thigh. Then my toe started moving again.
Okay.
Right? But I want him, I needed him. But at some point, it could have been somebody else that needed him, that their emergency was just as big. So, like, it would be a level of frustration if you are injured, Gronk's injured with his ribs and all that stuff, Brady's injured, and I want the work. Yeah,
but he's prioritizing someone else.
Yes, yeah, you're going to get my money back. But, yo, bro, I paid you up front because I wanted this work. And now I can't get on the field, and you're supposed to be this right. magician.
Yeah.
And you messed up, man, because you ain't paying no
what?
Attention.
All right. Well, all right, we're not going to work together, so I'll give you back to have the yeah, money
but,
that you
but,
asked
but,
me
see,
for.
See, but then, that's the cold-blooded thing, because Guerrero was like, bro, I got money, man. I'm part of TB12. You don't think Tom breaking me off? That $100,000 is nothing
know,
to me. You
like,
peon, here's your $100,000 back. What do you want me to send
like
the ballots,
said,
bro? The, and you,
that's not
have
too,
you
there's
tried,
no
have you
evidence
ever,
there to me that makes me but, feel but like there's some foul play going on.
No, it's
on.
Not
that's
foul play. Maybe he didn't get the attention, and he didn't get enough work that he wanted.
Well, I'm sorry. This is the way it goes sometimes. I'm a little busy. I don't have time for you.
But I counted on you.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Now I'm trying to get back, and it's playoffs, and you're supposed to be this miracle worker.
How many times you ordered something, and the company said, we don't have it in stock anymore, we'll send you a refund. You're like, man, I really needed this. Well, we don't have it anymore.
Right.
It's just the way business goes sometimes.
But if I send somebody to you, Alan, you best believe, if they don't do what I promised that they were going to do to you, it's going to be consequences and repercussions, because my name is on the line. So maybe he's mad at Tom because this guy didn't treat him like Gronk, because Gronk is really the favorite.
All right, well,
and
Adam,
he's a stepchild.
Adam Schefter just reporting right now on Twitter.
A chef bomb?
Sort of. Buccaneers are releasing Antonio Brown today. League sources tell ESPN he is, as Bruce Arians proclaimed Sunday, no longer a Buck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's official, in case you were wondering. They probably had to go through
yeah,
all this
stuff.
They had
to get their legal stuff ready
but he's,
to show conduct detrimental.
He's
they
now
prove
on attack,
case.
And he's doing it through social media. He's done this before, and he wants everybody to believe him. He wants people to take his side, and all I'm saying, and I know you're trying to explain his side of it, and I appreciate it, but I'm having a hard time saying to myself, I believe what he has to say here. I really do. I have a hard time believing his side of the story.
But would you not mean
he's not right.
But would you not go in the game for a $1.2 million bonus
no,
that you're close to?
That's what I mean. When you say it that way, it makes sense. And then I show you this, and I feel like, I don't know, there's some stuff to this that I just feel like he's once again trying to get people to sympathize with him because he did something that everybody knows.
But it's a paper trail.
You don't do that.
But it's a paper trail.
I'm sorry. You don't excuse walking out on your team and then jumping jacks and sprinting when so-called had an MRI with a bad ankle.
But I would go.
I'm sorry, Bart. I'm not buying it.
I would go nuclear. If a coach told me to get in the game, I say I'm hurt. He say get in the game or leave. If somebody said that
well,
to me.
Well, you already knew that Arians probably had him on.
Of course. Yeah. He only had him there because Godwin got hurt.
Yeah.
If somebody told me going to game and I'm hurt.
One strike,
I'm
going
to go.
You're out.
Yeah, but if somebody tell me going to game I'm hurt, I'm like, man, you going to game. You play hurt. You ain't hurt. Well, actually, he is. He half tore Achilles.
888-SAY-ESPN.
But he ain't got to run.
3776. Is any of this believable, or is Antonio Brown once again just looking for some people to enable the behavior that he's been going through over the last couple of years and trying also to not admit that maybe he does have some issues that he's got to deal with? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also coming up, more drama in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, you hear what he had to say back at his? Yes, of course you did. You were on Get Up
No,
this
no,
morning.
Don't tease me. I don't know. Tease me
fired
and everybody.
Back at that voter, the voter who said he wouldn't give him the MVP. Mm. Remember you made a bum list yesterday?
Mm.
Aaron Rodgers has one more addition to your bum list.
Ooh.
Yes, that's coming up after Bart tells us about SelectQuote.
Now it's time to reset the clock. So, if you do not have life insurance yet, listen up. Because just a couple of minutes out of your day can make a big difference for the ones that love you. You don't want any company for your life insurance. You need a pro. You need SelectQuote. For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. Check this out. SelectQuote found 40-year-old guy with high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's right, $19 a month. Seriously, that's nothing to be able to protect your family. Plus, quotes at SelectQuote are free and take only minutes. Do me a favor. Take a couple of minutes out of your day to get your free quote. All you have to do is call 1-800-960-3030. That's 1-800-960-3030. 1-800-960-3030 or go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Full details on sample policy and carrier ratings at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Price could vary by health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states. Back after this with the bum list.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Aaron Rodgers is the original Patrick Mahomes.
We can't take watching greatness for granted.
Aaron Rodgers, MVP, all that is great. Last two times we saw him in the NFC Championship game, we saw losses. And it's like this big drama series just to lose in the NFC Championship.
A little context here. Driving in. So we were...
Glamorous life.
We don't need. Yeah, so this is Sheila E.
A man's touch.
So Bart had
I
a song.
Don't need no man's touch.
We met. So we meet for breakfast on Thursdays when Bart does get up. And Bart had Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire stuck in his head. So when I was driving in, I was listening to. I'm listening to everything, really. But I was listening to Bart on Get Up on Sirius XM because you can get that on ESPN Extra. Right on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
And so while I was doing that, then when that ended, I flipped to some music stations to get fired up for the show. And I had on, I think it was either the 80s channel or XM Fly. And this song came on. And I was like, damn, I haven't heard this in forever. Right. So I want to rock this song, play it loud. So Bart said he had that We Didn't Start the Fire stuck in his head. Although you, how do you sing it?
Now it's out of my head because Sheila E. stuck in my head.
So I had to help him get that song out of his head.
Like, that song stuck in my head, and I've never heard that song ever. Like, it's like
we
one of those things.
Fire?
It's like one of those
How
things.
How did you get in your head then?
It gets stuck in your head, like when you're in a doctor's office, it's elevators, and subliminally, you know the song, but you don't remember ever listening to the song to know the song.
So you have like a hard drive in your brain. You don't realize it's downloading things that you
all,
don't want to download.
We all have it.
We do. It's true. So I helped him by singing this song while we were walking on the street. And it got into his head. And then we saw a sign. And we saw this sign that said, that looked like it was a bunch of, I thought it was scones. Funny Face Bakery. And they had, I thought they were scones. I'm like, man, it looks delicious. He goes, those are cookies. I'm like, no, they're not cookies. They were cookies. And my God, are they delicious. Yeah, there they are. So there's that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we're going to be eating some cookies during this show because we had to.
I'm going to get type 2 diabetes today.
You might. Yeah, you might, Rabbit. Let's take Sean. Sean, what's up?
How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Yeah, I'm still confused. Why are we even still talking about this dude? He is a mess. Everywhere he goes, he causes. I mean, it's everywhere. You know, he was a superstar in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and then after he's gone, it comes find out that he was an asshole there too.
Well,
so excuse my language. I've never been on the radio. I'm not sure if I can say that.
You
but,
definitely can't say that.
With
us.
Raiders.
Yeah, but I understand the point, and I understand what you're trying to say, is that once he goes to other teams, that's where it really started to, you know, to come up.
Well, production breeds tolerance, right? And we've seen this with Randy Moss, right? Remember Randy Moss left Minnesota, went to – to Oakland, got kicked out of
Same
Oakland.
Same thing, right? Yeah.
Same thing, right?
He goes to New England, and he found – well, maybe
Tom
that's what
Brady.
Tom Brady was thinking. It's like the same situation.
But listen, they don't win that Super Bowl without Antonio Brown.
In the Super
last
Bowl, right.
year.
Yeah.
And listen, if they were going to win the Super Bowl this year, AB was going to be a big part of that because Chris Godwin is gone. I think with Antonio Brown exiting, I think he's at least worth 25% of their chances of repeating.
Terrell Owens now wants to be part of that 25%. We'll see if
he
gets
did race Tyreek Hill. He did race Tyreek Hill, and he was pretty damn close.
Mm. It'd be interesting to see where the Bucs go from here. But just so you know, where the Bucs go from here is that they officially released him today, Antonio Brown, that is. And Adam Schefter with a bunch more tweets on this also.
Yeah, that was interesting news that what Shefty's tweeted.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't have time. We're going to get to that in the next. We will get to that. We got your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But basically, according to Shefty, that Jason Light, the GM, has been trying to now give their side of the Antonio Brown situation, including the fact that they were not aware that he was injured. And they also revealed that he came to them a week ago wanting the remaining $2 million of his salary, which was incentive-laden, to be fully guaranteed. And they were like, no, we're not doing that. So is there a correlation between these two things, Bart?
But the crazy thing is...
I got to pay something off. Okay. We will get into this, of course. But just another headline here for you is Aaron Rodgers. And as we talked about yesterday, there's a guy in Chicago, a longtime writer, who has an MVP vote with the AP. And he said he's not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers. Why? Because he says Aaron Rodgers is a bad guy. He's a jerk. I don't want to do that. Aaron Rodgers, this was brought up to him, and so he decided to fire back.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. But I mean, and I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the off season, that, you know, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude, you know, future votes. You know, his problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. Because he doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. I've never had lunch with him. I've never had an interview with him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. You know, so if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. But he's a bum, and I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff. He has no idea who I am. He's never talked to me in his life. But it's unfortunate that those sentiments, it's surprising that he would even say that, to be honest.
Well, it's not surprising because today people are saying whatever they want. And sometimes they say things that just come off as so stupid. And again, I look at this as awesome, this is stupid. Yeah. You know, again, I was a writer for 20 years. Like I covered teams. I was a beat writer. I understand when you get a vote, I find it to be something that's very personal.
Yeah.
That you have to make sure that you have to be professional about it. You can't have personal feelings put into it, but you have to take it personal because you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. To come out and say something like that just shows you're egomaniacal. Like, that's what that is. That's it's. Hey, look at me. I'm going to say these crazy takes about Aaron Rodgers and become, you know, and go viral. Congratulations. You played yourself.
Yeah.
Because now everybody looks at you like you don't, A, deserve a vote, and B, you lost a lot of credibility as somebody that I should trust with your with anything that you have to say or report on the sport of football about a guy who's arguably the best quarterback in the league and having an MVP year. Now, he did offer an apology.
You can't. It's too late.
And he, you know, I've apparently unleashed a small army of self-styled social media and talk radio experts who have no clue what they're talking about. The challenge, the quality of the voting process would attempt to invalidate any vote through the process that doesn't agree with their own.
Moron! Right. That's what I'm saying. Does that sound like an apology or doubling down? That sounds like doubling down to me. Like, he should lose the right to vote on anything. I mean, he definitely lost a lot of credibility within locker rooms with other players.
Just
like, because you know, if he writes a bad story about you, it could be about his own personal bias.
We see a lot of people in our business like this.
But you and don't I say it. How dumb are you? That just showed you how emboldened people are now that they think that they can say something. It's no consequences to it.
No, it's mind-boggling.
But
from where I come from, that, you know, again, that's my background, where I came from as a writer, and you would look at somebody who else like that who was in your business with you, and look at them going, man, what the hell are you doing? Like, what's wrong with you? It's not supposed to be about you. We got to break here. All right, Barton on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. We got more of your calls on this, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, Joe Judge's comments caught the attention of his opponent. You know, one of those comments and what they were. So how will the team respond? That is next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. So last night, Dirk Nowitzki had his number 41 retired by the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, already on the court there, they have a silhouette of him in his favorite spot, the mid post. It's actually pretty cool because it looks like the shadow. And there's, of course, as we're showing on ESPN Plus, a trophy of him in that famous one leg up fadeaway shot that was unblockable. Absolutely right.
This is unblockable. It's a sky hook.
Almost, yeah. Very impossible to block that shot because of, again, he was 7 feet and it was a high release and the fadeaway and his knee up. So if you got too close, ding dong.
But, bing bong.
Yeah, bing bong. So it made us think his importance as an international player to the NBA, he might be the most important.
Yeah.
Not that he was a pioneer. We know there were others. I mean, you go back to Drazen Petrovic with the Nets, who was just – yeah, unfortunately, we never got to see what greatness he would have brought.
Was too late in his career.
You had
Sabonis.
You had Hakeem Olajuwon played American college basketball.
So that don't count.
So it wasn't like he came over. He had already played. So I don't know.
Tim Duncan, too, played for Wake Forest.
Yeah, but again, they were born overseas. But Dirk is the first among those. Again, Detlef Schrempf, right, was another one. Like there was only a handful of guys – Arvydas Sabonis, who was just spectacular, but came over
late.
So late.
He was old.
Sarunas Marcelonis, you know, and again, when Lithuania.
Vadi Divas.
Vladi, another, right. Those are the examples of ones who came right from Europe, out of the European leagues, into the NBA and never experienced America as far as college basketball.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to kind of limit it to that.
Yeah.
Because it'd be easy to say, I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon is probably the greatest international player in the history. Yeah. Tim Duncan, born in the Virgin Islands.
But their style wasn't considered the European player that was kind of hurt, like Tony Kukoc.
Kukoc, another great example.
Yeah, but Dirk was the first Hall of Famer. When I say Hall of Famer, I mean, like, if you take what he did on the NBA, Hall of Famer, he's probably the best of them. And he opened the door for Luka Doncic. He opened the door for Tony Parker, for Ginobili, because he was such a transcendent player that he started fracking. That people started going over trying to find the next one because it was the notion that European players were soft, couldn't play defense, and he was just an unstoppable force. He was something that we had never seen before. So he opened the door, I feel like, for the European players that would believe that they can come and be the face of your organization. A lot of these guys were brought over to play and be good players. He was brought over. He became the face of the franchise. No other European international player became the face of their organization.
And it wasn't like it was easy. He came over.
Early on, it was hard.
And he came over as a skinny German kid at 19 years old in the late 90s now. The game was a lot different back then.
Yeah.
And he's going up against, remember, he was a center. Think about the guys he had to deal with. Grown men. And they all looked at him like, oh, you're supposed to be something special? He got his ass kicked. And it was bad. Yeah. He told the story. I was watching a documentary with him where he thought about not coming back. He thought about not coming back after the first year. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
But he kept going. And it's a great how he tells the story about how they were putting such a beating on I forget which team it was. A guy fell down. And he said, get up. We're not done with you yet. It shows you within 5 years he went from I'm going to quit. This ain't for me to, oh, I get it now. I'm an alpha. Became an all-time great. Dirk Nowitzki, where does he rank? All time for you as far as international players go, let us know at Bart and Hahn. We're back in 10 seconds. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got D Wood next, right? We got him in about 10 minutes. And we do.
We better.
Right. We want you to listen to the Man in the Arena podcast. It's a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. It's available wherever you get your podcasts and brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. For a mortgage experience you can be a fan of, Rocket can. So
I feel like I want this part of this added to the story.
Yeah.
I feel like they need to add a couple more parts to the docuseries.
Some more additions, including the lace with Antonio Brown. I do want to get to the Adam Schefter tweets, though, because this is what the Bucks now are saying. The follow-up with officially releasing Antonio Brown today. Let's get the tweets one after another. It begins with, it's a lot of them here, so just bear with me. Okay. Here's where it starts. So the Antonio Brown, according to Jason Light, the GM, did not tell anyone on the Bucks medical staff about his ankle bothering him on game day before the game against the Jets or during it. This is Adam Schefter reporting this, saying this is what Jason Light is saying. The Bucs made two doctor's appointments in New York for Antonio Brown so they could place him on IR and pay him for the remainder of the year, and he missed both appointments. All right, he added that part to it.
Mm.
That's a big story here. The Bucs could have set up those appointments in Tampa, but they knew Brown was in New York, and they believed they were trying to oblige him. Brown and his agent declined to send the Bucs his medical information from their doctor visit this week and still have not returned their calls.
Mm.
The Bucs made what they call reasonable accommodations to bring this matter to a close early this week if, in fact, Antonio Brown had an injury from the game and the wide receiver declined to cooperate. Once again, Jason Light saying this. He also adds this. Last week, Antonio Brown and his agent requested that the remaining $2 million in incentives in his contract for this season be guaranteed. The team declined to guarantee those incentives. So, Bart, I mean, pretty clearly,
yeah,
it's starting to feel like AB wanted his money up front, and they said no.
Yeah.
And since then, now it's like, well, I'm hurt, I can't play.
But the,
I'm sorry, but that if you want to trust Jason Light,
mm-hmm.
if you, I don't know, again, who do you want to believe here in this story?
Yeah.
But if that's what it was, where he asked for a fully guarantee and they wouldn't give it to him, and now all of a sudden it's I'm hurt, I can't play.
Yeah, I don't think Jason Light is lying. I just think that's stupid on Antonio Brown's fault if that is the case, because all he had to do was go in the game. He could have got those easy. He could have got. With as much as Tom Brady had to throw the ball, he could have finished that up with 50 yards.
Here's one more in one game. Real quick. On another note, Shefty says, per sources, at halftime of the game against the Jets, Antonio Brown was agitated about not getting the targets he was expecting during the game and had to be calmed down.
He got five in his first half. He got five, caught three.
Yeah.
The dude that caught the ball was his replacement.
Story's not going away. Let's talk with D. Wood about it coming up next. Barton Hunt.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.